Thank you. I'll just do one more. I think you all recognize this.
a time of despair almost unto death because of seeing the ugliness that I saw that has occurred and that does occur. And I think that's an easy response for people who do care deeply. And I'm frightened by some discussions like this because that's not my aim. It's not to lead people to either despair or to give up our hands in apathy and say, let's just go on and live. And so let's look a little bit about hope. And let's look a little bit, and I'd like to do this in part because it is the last in this series, at ways we can respond to the past, but also the present, the conquest today, with hope. And to look at the incredible resources that we have. For one, we have the gospel. And we have the resource of at least the majority of us claiming to be followers of Christ. And as we've learned in the Bible studies in this past week, and also in the Bible study reflection that we've done in these sessions, the gospel has a radical message of defying cultural norms and going on to building the kingdom of God, a kingdom of compassion rather than of exclusion and oppression. But we also have our hearts. You know, people in this room have enormously big hearts. We have our minds to think and start to sort it all out. And more, I think that what we have is our ears and our eyes, to not necessarily to go out and help people, but to listen to people, to see what really is their perspective and to listen to history from the perspective of marginalized people, not from the perspective of those on top, which are us. I'd like to ask people to spend a few minutes, to spend 15 minutes, 10 minutes, I'm sorry. If this were, again, a caveat, I wish we had more hours, because I'd like you to spend an hour now. And I'd like you to have big pieces of paper and lots of color crayons, but we don't have that. I found some little pieces of paper and no color crayons. So if you don't have pens or pencils, if you could share, you know, if you don't have one, maybe hold up your hand and someone could share. And I'll have some paper here for those who don't have. And I'd like you to first... let me pass this out and then give a little assignment. This is scratch paper recycled with writing on the back, so get one with a clear inside. Should I pass paper around up there?
Not sure.
Well, if you don't have paper up there, hold.
These are all both sides.
Oh, they're all both sides. Well, here are some good sides.
Some of them.
Let's hope there are no holy secrets on this recycled paper, huh?
We don't need a whole sheet of paper, do we?
Yeah, you need a whole sheet. You do need a whole sheet. Well, you really need a whole sheet.
Oh, okay.
You should have a big sheet, but you need at least a whole small sheet.
Okay.
I think it's so important that we get visions or symbols of things that give us hope. And I've been thinking about symbols that kind of cross cultures. And in many, many religious traditions and many cultures, the tree is a sacred symbol, a symbol of life, the tree of life. And I'd like you to take, we are limited, 10 to 15 minutes to think about the tree of life and use it to do some visioning of the new creation in your own life, how you might begin to live out, to live in response to some of the realities we've discussed. And I shouldn't use the word begin because most people in this room already are involved in working towards a different kind of world. But let me suggest an exercise. I'd like you to have make a tree with 5 parts. And let's do roots. If you forget it, I'll write it down up here after you start. Let's make roots and have the roots represent the values and traditions that you come out of. The empowering values and traditions in your history. And this would, of course, have to do with your upbringing, maybe your Christian tradition, maybe your ethnic tradition, but the values and traditions that empower you, that are your roots. Then make a trunk, and have that trunk represent or indicate some of the current activities of your life that are working towards a different world. The current ways that you're involved in building the new creation. It might be through your vocation, it might be through your parenting, it might be through your activism, it might be through your inner journey. But the activities that you are now involved in that work towards the new creation. Third, leaves. Let the leaves be your sources of nurturance, the things that give you strength, the things that give you hope. It might be the things you read, it might be your family, it might be your God, but have that be the leaves, the things that feed you. And then have fruits. We don't have time to do all this. Make buds. Get the fruits. Make buds. And the buds are going to be the cutting edges, the things that are calling to you, where you're being called. The little buds where you could grow forth in working for the new creation. Is that clear enough?
Well, not exactly to me. I mean, do you want us to actually label these with words
Either way. I mean, for some people, like the way I've kind of grown up to be, words are what make me function. Mm-hmm. So for some people, you might just do a lot of words. Now, other people might just draw shapes, make it the shape of the trunk, the shape of the roots. How deep they go, how broad they go. So either draw or use words or do both. And again, our time is limited. Have this be the beginning of an exercise and maybe keep thinking about this through the week. But spend 10 minutes on this now and then I'll call us back together. Do some people not have pens or pencils?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, really? Okay, could I see a bringing forth of pens or pencils that people might have to share?
I have a couple. Why don't you draw the tree on the board?
You want to do it together? Okay, okay.
Given the lack of time, we'll do it that way. The lack of time and lack of pencil.
There we go.
There's a big sheet.
Big sheet.
All right.
There's our big sheet, right. We need a big sheet.
You have those right now?
I do. I have some pencils. Okay. This is a good idea given our teeny weeny little bit of time. Let's do this, and I would also challenge you to maybe take it during your reflection here at Holden, during your journaling time, during your thinking time, to consider this for yourself very personally. Then maybe a brainstorm. What are some of the traditions, the values and the traditions that support and give grounding to your work towards the kingdom of God or the new creation or social justice, however you want to say that. I think we'll make this tree a little taller.
Mm-hmm. Do we need a chair for that?
Well, I can reach. So. Okay, throw out some ideas. Honesty. Oh, I am not an artist.
I think education.
Yeah. Oh. What was the other one?
What I heard over here?
Morals. Christian ethics.
Christian ethics. Okay. Any others?
Forgiveness.
Ah, that's... Whoa, these are bad pens, too. Forgiveness.
Love.
Okay. Anything out of ethnic heritage that you might think of?
Hard work.
Hard work?
Are you, what, you're Norwegian?
We're a work center. I think we definitely have that. Mm-hmm. Democracy in its best vision.
Democracy in its best vision, okay.
Just democracy is bigger than that.
Okay.
I'll put democracy with an asterisk beside it.
Why don't we move and just look for a moment at the trunk? In other words, examples of some of the things that we are currently involved in that are working towards a more compassionate, a more just social order.
Well, I suspect there are probably some pastors in here.
Pastoring?
Who either ordained, specifically ordained people, or people who do ministry in another way. Without necessarily being okay. Ordained and non-ordained ministry.
Ordained and lay ministry, okay.
Are you also thinking of techniques such as letter writing?
Yes.
Break for the World letter writing to get the legislation to support?
Sure, letter writing.
Funding for
amnesty.
Amnesty. Okay, amnesty.
How about teaching our children?
Mm-hmm. Good. Mm-hmm. Okay, teaching our children. You can go ahead and say others because I'll catch up.
Grassroots things.
Obviously, our trunk needs to be much bigger. What was the next thing?
I was thinking, like, you know, neighborhood, community, grassroots things that are like soup kitchens.
Okay.
Lodging for homes.
Okay. Grassroots helping endeavors.
Food pantries.
Okay.
Cool. All right. One of the most helpful things I saw was when I went to the Tour of Lutheran World Relief in the Andean region, mm-hmm. and the way the church was working with the people in the Altiplano, the people there were being directed in their vision for growth and for taking charge. It was just wonderful. I go around telling people that Boy, Lutheran World Relief is really in there where they need to be, and our money is being used in there. Nobody's getting rich off of anything.
So we can put okay. And we can also say about that in many cases that is not only the people being directed by Lutheran World Relief, but Lutheran World Relief really taking direction from the people about how to be
of more that than the people directed.
Good. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Our organization of Lutheran Social Service.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Lutheran Social Services. Yes.
Listening.
Oh, great. Good.
Anytime that we're actively involved in learning something new.
Okay.
Not being content with.
Okay.
But making ourselves learn something.
Okay.
Or challenging ourselves.
All right.
You got to put hold in the village.
All right. Hold the village, right? Very good.
A couple of other things, I think. One is through music and through particularly. Hearing, listening to the songs, mm-hmm. Liberation songs mm-hmm. that come from Central and South America,
okay.
and also the poetry and drama
okay.
that's coming, that's helping. It's part of that listening, but it's declaring.
That's what humanizes people,
yeah.
getting beyond
it's
just being educated, but being humanized.
So music, arts, that tell
music,
liberation
drama,
stories.
Arts.
Yes, okay.
Corporate worship.
Okay, worship, all right. We could say many more. I think I'm going to go on. Speak for a moment about the leaves, the things that feed us and give us courage and knowledge to go on in this kind of work.
Well, I put things like music and poetry and the reading.
Some of these we're going to have to start putting twice.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's a good point that some things do play both of those parts.
Yeah.
All right.
Music. Friends.
All right. Friends. Listen, reading. Okay.
Prayer.
All right. You know, I want to add one to the trunk, and the one that I would add is just daring, is risking to go into realms of understanding that are very, very uncomfortable. So I would just add risking onto the trunk. Other things on the leaves portion here.
I think cross-cultural experiences.
Okay, all right. Uh-huh.
And too, I think faith would sustain us, because for a lot of people without faith, they wouldn't do this anyway.
Okay, very good.
I don't know if that's a beginning point or an ending point or a middle point.
Hearing the gospel from the
okay,
the gospel.
And it may be related to a lot of those, but I really think relationship with you use the term marginalized people, people of other cultures,
and
as we have personal relationship with them, our awareness of it, we're really lifted up, I think.
Right, and marginalized people are in many, many people are marginalized. When you said that, I suddenly thought about certain kids, you know, kids who are marginalized, misbehaving kids. Okay. Any other? Actually, I think I'd like us just to move to the buds for a minute. And by the buds I love, because the buds are the invitations before us. They're the invitations to step out and to dare out. And it might be something that's been in the back of our minds saying, this is where I should be going. This is what I should be doing. Any buds in any of your lives?
What was it that the buds represented?
The buds represent where you are being called to reach out toward marginalized people, to reach out towards building a different kind of world. The opportunities before you, the places where you are, you know, one could say, called to be building the kingdom of God on earth. The little possibilities there that might be frightening.
This is a new bud that came up right now, but I'm sure going to find out what my daughter's school district is going to be saying about Columbus.
Good. That sounds lovely.
That's a lovely bud. All right. Let's put it right there. Cool. Investigating what the schools are doing.
I would say parenthetically about that, there is a well, I'll say that afterwards. Any other buds?
I think taking some steps to find out what our communities are doing regarding homelessness, which is becoming a national crisis.
That's lovely and so connected. Finding out about and working with homelessness.
If your local church doesn't have some of the grassroots support things, maybe encouraging it to start a soup kitchen or a food pantry or a clothing center or something for youth or get into some kind of programs that would address some of these specific needs.
All right.
Good. Reaching out to refugees and migrant workers that come into our
excellent. Okay. What I am going to do, because we do have a need to end, you know, on time, that's pretty much a commitment, I'd like to invite you and challenge you to play with this tree in your mind and particularly think about those buds. And we'll go on with all of these areas in the week to come in the various sessions on the quincentenary. I'd like to, in closing, do two things.
Get down.
One is read a poem that I find a lovely and a hope-filled poem. And before that, I'd like to just suggest to you a couple of resources. And these aren't, I have no vested interest in these selling these, so I'm not selling my own stuff or anything. But these are two books for teachers, Rethinking Columbus in English, Redescubriendo America in English and Spanish, that are terrific sources, particular for education of elementary and high school age children. And then this is a notebook full of resources, legislative activities to be involved in, things to read, bibliographies, organizations. And I'm going to leave this throughout the week on that back podium, so you can take a look at it from many different resources. And then,
Sure.
It's not. The book, this series of sessions that we're doing
on the quincentenary are based upon a book, this book, The American Journey. And it's a book of, it's an action reflection process. It's a book giving a process for doing biblical reflection on the Columbus quincentenary and personal cultural history, digging into our own personal cultural histories, and doing social analysis and listening to many voices. That book is in the bookstore. The other book that I mentioned to you, I have order forms right here. I can hang around after the session is over to do more talking. And also, before I read the poem, I'd also like to say that there's another resource here in the village this coming week, the next 3 weeks, that will be doing sessions on the Columbus quincentenary. Maria de Zunica, who has lived for the past 27 years in Central America, and we'll be doing some lovely work through which we can hear many, many voices of indigenous people. So I would encourage you to take advantage of Maria through her sessions, as well as just talking with her in the village. I love this poem because it's by a Latin American poet, and it's because, to me, it's a poem of hope. And it's a poem that calls us to be a part of the movement of people throughout the world that are working toward a more just society, a more just world. When the enthusiasm of our time is recounted for those yet to be born, but who announce themselves with a kinder face, we will come out winners, we who have suffered most. To be ahead of one's time is to suffer much. But it is beautiful to love the world with the eyes of those still to be born, and splendid to know oneself already victorious when everything around is still so cold, so dark.